This podcast is brought to you by Avocado Mattress. And if healthy, comfortable sleep matters to you, this is one organic brand worth knowing. That's because what you sleep on actually matters.
Most mattresses rely on synthetic foams and chemical materials that trap heat, break down over time, or off-gas. Avocado does it differently. Their mattresses are handcrafted with natural materials, organic latex, organic wool, and organic cotton. Designed to be naturally cooling, incredibly supportive, and long-lasting. They're certified organic by GOTS and meet multiple non-toxic and safety certifications. Made for people who care about their health and the environment without sacrificing comfort. I love that Avocado proves you don't have to choose between comfortable, supportive sleep and your values. And now, during our Earth Month sale, you can get up to 15% off Avocado mattresses. Just go to avocadogreenmattress.com. Get up to 15% off at avocadogreenmattress.com. avocadogreenmattress.com.
Go Loud. Talking Bollocks, a Go Loud original podcast. Sponsored by Right Style Furniture. Right price, right style, right now. Visit rightstyle.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Are you still sitting on a beanbag in your sitting room like you're 17?
Grow up and head to Right Style Furniture. They've got proper, comfy, stylish gear and they're Irish and family run too.
The house packages are class. For just €3,649, you get an electric sofa set, full dining setup and beds with mattresses. That's a serious bang for your buck.
I got my corner sofa off them and I haven't stood up since.
They've got locations in Font Hill, Belgard and now Omni Park. Open every day and late on a Thursday and Friday in Font Hill and Omni.
One stop shop for kitting out the gaff. Don't say we never looked after you.
Exactly. Right price, right style, right now.
Visit www.roystyle.ie and when you shop in store, tell them Terrence and Calvin sent you and they'll throw a discount on top of that as well. So get down to Roystyle Furniture today.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in the crowd. Fill your body up. Work it hard and long. When you finish
that. The hip knocker.
Episode 260 of the Talking Bollocks podcast, brought to you by Go Loud. It's me, COB.
It's me, Tardy Flower.
And today we're joined by
Josh Rock.
Josh, what's the crack, pal?
Good to be here.
It's an honour to be here, bro. Calvin sent it in the other day. He said, Josh Rock is on the podcast this week. You want to see me? I was like, no way. He sent the picture straight back, didn't he?
He sent me a picture. He has your darts.
Have your darts in the gaff.
You can use them better than me.
I'm alright. I did be on the podcast telling lies. I did be saying, boys, just want to. I'm shy, bro. But it's an honour to have you on. How are you keeping?
I'm keeping the best. It's just all go, go, go with this Premier League and stuff and every other tournament that's going. I just moved house on the 3rd of February and I've spent 11 nights in the house till the day. It's just, the schedule's absolutely mad.
Right, Josh, what we do with all our guests on our podcast is like we like to go back to the start. So can you tell us where you're from and what life was like growing up for you?
Well, I'm originally from Antrim and I live in a village called Brasheen. In Ballymena, and I was a quiet kid. I wasn't a wee bad bugger growing up. I was obviously went through school nice and easy, high school, and then went into college and done sports coaching. Always wanted to play darts from a young age. I've been playing darts since I was two. There was a bit going on when I was like 10. I played my first ever pub match when I was 10, and I got beat, and I cried. fucking win, but anyway.
Yeah.
And then obviously I stopped it. I still practiced every day, but I stopped it for about 6 years, concentrated small school, and then obviously into high school, and then went to college, got my A-levels in sports coaching, and then COVID hit, and I practiced like mad, and now I'm here today as a professional, so not too bad.
It's fucking crazy. How did you get into darts at 2 though?
My dad.
Really?
Funny enough, my dad only actually started playing darts when I was born. He was running at his mate's house one day and picked up a set of darts and just enjoyed throwing. He stuck the board up just before I was born. Then my dad said he used to sit in the house here and just watch him.
Yeah.
And that was it.
What age did you start realising that you were actually half decent?
After COVID.
After COVID?
Yeah, I was after, because I could play, but obviously not to the standard that I could compete with the big players. After COVID, obviously everybody was in Universal Credit. You were stuck indoors. I was practicing 8 hours a day because there was absolutely nothing else to do. It was either watch movies all day or practice darts. And one day I practiced darts, one day I watched movies. There was nothing else you could do. So COVID helped me obviously that way, keep practicing, get the arm in and whatnot. And I'm a lazy bugger when it comes to practice, so.
But as a child, like, were you not like...
Yeah, did they not know you? I was like, that's Josh, he's the dart player.
He's going to be the dart player.
No, not really, because I was always in the house practice. Like, I played football too, but I was always just dirt daft.
Yeah, because I thought you would have said there. Yeah, when I got to about 8, I was hitting 180s, and everyone knew I was going to be on the come up. Now,
no, not really. But I hit my first 180 when I was 9.
Right.
So I did, but
still impressive.
Yeah, but always, whenever my dad worked in the local pub, whenever he was working, there was times I was there and I just practiced, but boys didn't really pay attention.
Yeah, yeah.
So they didn't until now.
And you said you played your first match then when you were 10?
Yeah.
And then did that then become consistent, like where you played more matches and then you were like, fuck?
No, that's what I mean. So when you played that one match, and then I didn't veer away. It was my mum obviously got wind of it because mum and dad weren't together.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And she just wanted me to focus on school, so I just done what was told.
Yeah. In fairness, so you finished school, you got your A levels.
Yeah, for that, yeah. So, yeah. Obviously,
so she can't be given out
to me. No, she can't give out to me now. So thankfully for that.
And what you said, you only realised, I'm imagining you're on about yourself, you only realised yourself was good after COVID.
Yeah, because I hit my first 9 darts during COVID.
So you're only good if you're hitting 9 darter?
16 when I hit my first 9 darter.
16? Mm. Jesus Christ, that's
well, it's different now because kids are hitting them when they're 11 now because the standard's a lot different, but that was a big thing for me then during COVID, hit my first 9. And then that's when I realised, right, you can actually play this game if you can hit a 9 darter. So, and I just believed myself after that.
It's crazy because they'd be telling him that I'm lethal and all.
Yeah.
Well, you heard of 180s a year, like.
Yeah, he has this perception, and a lot of people think that from listening to the podcast, like, he's fucking great at darts, because then he'll throw up a story on Instagram, and it'd be him hitting like a 140. He'd be like, oh, like, look how good I am, I nearly hit that 180, and everyone thinks he's good at
darts. Nearly is nowhere near, he's but that much of it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's in the 8th. Yeah. So, what, you heard of 9 darts when you were 16, that was your first?
Yeah.
Right, and then what match was that in?
That was practice.
Was it, yeah.
And then came out of COVID, obviously the pubs were kind of reopened, and then we all got to get together in the local pub, the Thatch Inn in Bersheen, and then we just, it was the final. I was actually playing about a boy called William Barr, and the second leg, I had 9 darts against him. That was my first competitive one against someone as well.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, your first competitive one.
First competitive one, so it was 18, first competitive one.
Yeah. See, I do be forgetting as well. How old are you now? You're 24, 24. 25? 24 years of age.
Yeah.
And what's your ranking in the world now?
7.
Number 7 in the world.
But you got not, well, then you got number someone who's 18 is number 1, so.
Yeah, but just go for it.
He's just different class.
I didn't even want to mention him there because I'm talking to Josh Rock here, but that's ridiculous.
Yeah, but for what he's done for our sport, it's just he's made the money go up, he's made the publicity of the sport go up, he's made everything go up, so you have to mention everything. And it doesn't bother me. It bothers some players, but it doesn't bother me because what he's done for our sport is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, you have the mentality of like a rising tide lifts all boats kind of thing. Yeah. That's the right mentality to have. Yeah.
Everybody's benefiting from it.
Yeah, I agree and I disagree. It's down my head in. No, I would, because it seems to be like, oh, you throw his name out there and like the interviewer is benefiting off it, really. Do you know what I mean?
But the thing is, but if he hasn't done what he's done, we wouldn't be, I might not be sitting here with you today.
Yeah. Yeah, no, fair enough.
So the publicity of darts is just shot through the roof.
Yeah. You know? Why are we afraid to mention his name? It's Luke Littler. Like, he who cannot be named.
Well, I think he said the number one in the world that's 18. It's not Peter, right?
Yeah.
Do you get me? But, it's obviously crazy what he's doing, but I think that can nearly take away from some of the younger lads like yourself, like Van Veen and stuff like that. Because how old is he now? Is he 22?
He's a year younger. He's 23.
He's 23, so... Yeah. Like, you are so young and you are in the top 10, top 5 in the sport.
Yeah.
Where it's nearly, people are looking, yeah, but little as 18 up there, you're forgetting what this means.
If 10 years ago you wouldn't have had, obviously, 24-year-olds, 25 no. in the Premier League, that was probably the average age was 28.
Yeah.
And obviously older and stuff, so.
Yeah.
Just shows where the sport's going and what the standard's like now.
We had a question before we came in, we forgot that it was English.
Yeah, so we do this thing at the start of every podcast called Zingers, and it's just basically like an icebreaker, like would you rather, either or kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But one that we've had for years, and like we've had, like we've been killing each other.
We've kept the blouse, that's why I had to get Brian's old.
Oh, geez.
And like we've had people send in like emails breaking down the statistics of how hard this is. But I think I might know your answer, but I'd be still curious to find out which is harder, a 147,
9
a hole. Oh, there you go. Right.
The reason why... I've said this. I've seen a funny photo of Mark Allen because he was in Belfast and he read out a sign of 147s harder than the 9 darter. So Paddy Power done a challenge the last 2 years, obviously because Paddy Power sponsored the World Championship.
Yeah.
They put golf together, snooker together, and darts together. Sean Murphy twice has hit a 147 in practice. No one's hit a 9 darter in darts. Golf's just pure luck. Anybody could hit a hole in one. It's just luck.
That's my peg on the golf side.
Doing that, but in the circumstances as well, Mark Allen done a charity event, 24 hours of snooker. He hit 7 147s and 2 167s. In 24 hours, you'd be lucky if a dart player hits 1 9 dart in practice.
Oh,
and the same time as we can hit 9 darters, obviously, in front of tens of thousands of people, but they couldn't hit a 147 with a crowd shouting because it has to be said.
Well, yeah.
There's obviously your different. That's why I say a 9 darter is harder. My manager is dart staffed and he's snooker dad. He says 147, and I love to slap the head off him just to say it's a 9 darter because of all the circumstances.
Well, I'm not going to give my answer. So, oh, you always said a 147.
You said 147.
But your big argument always was the atmosphere as well. Like these lads are throwing days with people chanting all sorts, mm-hmm. drinks getting flung in the air.
Yep.
Yeah. It's one of my favourite moments in darts is when someone starts off the leg and hits a 180, and then the next set of darts hits another 180, and then they fucking kiss the bar and hit just a 20 and everyone bills them. Yeah. I'm like, that fella is on for a fucking, he's on for like a 12 dart leg.
Yeah, still,
like, do you know, no problem, like he's winning this leg, no problem. But everyone's like, ah, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. He's a dickhead, he fucking messed me.
Well, let's go, I love that as well.
Yeah. It's like a striker hitting a brace and then in the 90th minute they hit the post for the hat-trick and everyone booing.
Hello.
What the fuck is going on here? Like, you know what I mean? But that's a solid argument. That, and you're the professional in the room here, so I'm not going to argue with that.
Sorry, Mark.
I think he's put that together right.
Yeah, I think so. But then again, you wouldn't really be thinking in a
but you can also flick a 147 because you can hit off the jaws and it goes into the other pocket.
Yeah.
Whereas in darts, you can't flick a 9 darter.
Yeah, right,
as well about the hole in one. There is all luck.
Oh, it's just stupid.
Well, your first argument was the hole in one.
Yeah, because how lucky you have to be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just pure luck.
There's no skill involved.
No, like, definitely not.
The best golfer in the world is not hitting the hole in one.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Roy McIlroy's, what, one hole in one?
Ever? Probably, yeah.
I don't know, one or two, you'd be lucky.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that often.
Yeah.
But then Gareth Bale hit one, didn't he? He was saying that and stick the football there.
Gareth Bale,
Bale had a hole in one.
Whereas, like, if us three grew up now and we're fucking having a game of darts, I'm not hitting a 9 darter by accident.
Yeah. No. I might.
Should he fix his brain?
Yeah.
Oh, if you couldn't laugh, you'd cry.
Yeah, exactly. Just a little more. Try always in the drawer. In your body,
your head. Obviously, we're at the been chatting there about the atmosphere playing a factor. How much does the atmosphere play a factor in a game in terms of if they're on your side or if they're against you or just in general?
I hate playing without a crowd because we play a thing called the Pro Tours, which is behind closed doors, and it's silent as fuck. You hear a pin drop half the time.
I don't even like watching it. Yeah,
no, it's not the same. There's no atmosphere and often, but obviously we still have to do it because you get ranking points out of it, so we still do them. But an atmosphere is massive in darts, and it just. I think it makes you play better as well.
Yeah.
Well, for me it does.
Well, I was going to say, would you reckon it's like that for everyone though? Well,
some people not. Some people, yes. There's some people who can't play on the floor but can play on the stage, and there's people who can't play on the stage but can play on the floor. Everybody's different.
Yeah. And some people feed off the atmosphere and some people it goes against them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But then, have they ever been against you? Like, do you ever see the way they go on a player's back sometimes? Yeah, just like
Glasgow, Premier League. I was expecting the boot and they boot me big time. But listen, that's just all part and parcel of the sport. So I find it funny. I enjoyed the boot.
Well, that's it. If you can take it like
If you can take it, you have to. Like, so I enjoyed it. Still, I thought it was funny listening to the boot.
Yeah, and you can nearly turn it. Like, if you lean into it, I think they look at that and he's up for the crack.
After the first leg, I had a 140 check rate and they were cheering, go on. It just shows one thing, just changes everything.
But Gerwin Price a few years ago, obviously wearing
the headphones. Yeah. I think that went against him then.
Yeah.
Well, he actually got, funny enough, a lot of good comments about it.
Oh, did he?
Because a lot of kids with autism, obviously, out in the streets, don't like loud noises, and they were ear defenders. Now, my son's autistic, so that's why I wear that wee wristband.
Brilliant, yeah.
But he sometimes annoys him, but he doesn't wear ear defenders, but there is a lot of children out there who do wear ear defenders, and they did get a lot of praise from it.
So they're able
without,
to look at
without
him
even realising he's getting praise for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, brilliant. But they were obviously on his back because everyone talked about him, Price at the time was a big wanker, but he seems like a...
No, he's 100... Guess he's one of the nicest men you meet off
playing
the stage.
Him tomorrow?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm not like him tomorrow, like, but... And he'll not be liking me tomorrow, so... Exactly.
Yeah, but he got some slack about it. I think, do you know what benefited him? Doing podcasting interviews now.
Yeah.
Everyone got to see. He's actually all right.
What he's like in general.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I do find it funny, because obviously the World Championships is huge. It's on in every household, every pub, every December.
That It is funny because people, there's nothing on TV, they just stick their darts on because you hear a bit of cheering in the crowd and what, and hear some chants going on, and everybody watches it. It's weird.
Yeah, my mother-in-law loves it. Like, she's, every year she wouldn't pay for Sky until December, and then she'll pay for the sports package and then cancel in January. I'm not even joking, lads. That's what she, yeah, every year. But like, some people will be playing and she's like, oh, I don't like him. And I'd be like, how do you not like him? Because one, he's not saying anything. He's,
no, exactly.
He's not like a footballer where they can be arrogant and they could be diving or they could be whatever. That's, and they throw tantrums.
Is, yeah. So like, a girl and Price gives a little yell. If I was behind like, them, I'd be fuming.
You see minimal. With darts players, you see minimal of emotion, really.
Yeah.
You know what,
yeah,
I mean?
Oh, yeah, you
personality.
Do.
But as you were saying, you get to see it now on podcasts and it's completely changed the perception. I think it's hilarious how someone can look at a fella and be like, I don't like him.
Mate, people like, my barber and stuff, and they said, oh, I don't like him. I said, you don't know him personally the way I do.
Yeah.
And they're so different off stage than what you see on stage.
Yeah.
But that's, everybody obviously, everybody has opinions on people, and I'm like, meet them before you judge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know who people have a mixed opinion of? And I know you love him, because I read before that you looked up to him when you were younger, Gary Anderson.
Yeah.
There's real mixed opinions about Gary Anderson. Now, when I see him, obviously, you're saying just there, we only get to see him. We don't see him much. You only see like a post-match interview or whatever. But he seems like such a good bloke.
Yeah, he's obviously fantastic. It's weird, obviously. They always say don't meet your hero, but when I met him, he just took me straight away. He loves me to bits.
Yeah.
He always calls me his boy. I absolutely love it, but just obviously to be in a room with him and look at your idol, who I looked up to all my life, was, that's fantastic.
You're probably mates with him now, like.
That's weird, eh? Yeah. Good mates with your hero, that's,
yeah,
mad.
Yeah. Like, you, as you said, you grew up looking up to him, and now you could probably just ring him whenever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can't do that. That's, yeah, just weird. That is weird, but it's also...
Is it still weird to you, Josh?
No, not now. It was, yeah, the first day when I obviously got my tour card and walked into that room, seeing Michael Van Gogh and seeing Gary, but just body started shaking. It was like, fuck, it's him. even though I'm there as a professional too, so...
Yeah.
But after, I think after a month, nah, fuck them, all wangers.
That's it. You've just as much right to be there as they,
yep,
do.
Exactly. Yeah. So the years had they kind of get that over and done with quick.
Yeah.
On the mid period.
Just to go back a bit, when did you realise, so you said you hit the 9 dart in that tournament after COVID, but when did you realise, do you know what, I could probably make a few quid out of this?
Well, actually, so that same year in 2021, yeah, 2021, went down to Killarney for the Killarney Darts Festival. And in all the single events, there was, I don't know how many entries there were, about 500, 600 entries. And in the 3 days of single events, I went semi-final, quarter-final, final in the men's events. And then after that, went to Q School and got my tour card.
So it was that quick, like?
Yeah, it was that quick, just, yeah, that.
Do you know what, it nearly kind of benefits you that COVID happened, you got to practice in, because it's not as if you had to, like, for example, you were an architect.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what, I'm going to have to give up this job and go in and start taking the dart serious. It's just like, look, this is kind of falling in place for me here. I'm going for this now.
Yeah, well, I did. I had my old manager at that point, and he actually came up to me in Killarney and then went from there.
And then what you said, you got your pro card, then your tour card. And now you had to been talking about going into that round. There's Gary Anderson, there's Michael Van Gerwen. When did you start to realise you can compete with them? Because you can't. You've beaten most of them.
Well, after I had that month of, like, yeah, realising I was a professional, I was fine after that.
Was that a specific match or moment where you were like, I can hang with all this?
No, when I first joined the tour, it took me, I think it was like 6 or 7 games before I won my first, like, ranking,
yeah,
game. And I was hitting top plus averages against them all, but I was just losing. Like, you have to obviously learn your trade before you start doing anything. So I was learning the hard way, and today I still learn the hard way. You learn more from losing than you do winning.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So,
in your game at the moment, because everybody knows you're a high scorer, everybody knows you can, yep, see what you can average in games. What part of your game would you like to fix the
doubles
most?
Or doubles, I think everybody knows that for me. There's days I'm going there up on the stage and the doubles are 100%, they're going in, and there's days they're absolutely fucking drastic and they're not even going close. So I don't know if it's a mental side of things or just certain times you're just really shit at doubles. But the reason I always compare myself to Gary Anderson, because he won 2 world titles from scoring and shit at doubles, because he was that much of a power scorer.
Yeah.
He gave himself extra darts at a double before, yeah, anyone else got there. Yeah, so yeah. I find a lot of myself, a lot of Gary Anderson in me. So, yeah. But just I'm probably a bit more shit in the doubles.
Because obviously that game at the World Championships just gone with Justin Houghton.
I couldn't stand a chance. He was just picking the doubles first start. He was the first person ever to go 11 legs on the spin and 11 out of 11 doubles. And I wish he hit the 12th double out of 12, because I already had it. I had my darts in my hand ready just to throw him across the stage and give him a hug. I was like, you fabby bastard.
Like, so, that's one that my, I remember watching it just thinking, like, what? There's nothing you can deal with against someone that's hitting doubles like that.
No, the only way I was winning that game was $9.
Yeah.
Honestly, because the stats, the way he was hitting 180s and stuff was ridiculous. And then the finish was just mad. I've never experienced something before like that. And I was happy with someone like Justin because he's such a good bloke.
Yeah.
Now again, just looking at, he seems like a good bloke. He's good crack, isn't he? Walking off stage, making the face.
I would make the faces, getting the belly out, the tits out. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, just stop. No, it was funny. But people were wondering, is he all there?
Yeah, I was thinking that. Yeah, I definitely think so,
but it was funny though.
Yeah.
Seeing it all.
Josh, you were saying like growing up, like you'd be in pubs playing games and stuff like that. I think there's been a big shift probably in the last 10, 15 years with the perception of darts, because growing up for us, it was just, you go down the pub, load of men drinking, smoking, game of darts.
Yep.
Now it's completely shifted. It's probably professional.
That's professional. It's now a professional sport, so obviously you have to be professional about it. And it's obviously so much different to what it was when I was growing up. And obviously seeing Eric Bristow and all smoking and drinking on TV and the stage, you know, you don't get that anymore. Definitely not.
The boy is locked going out trying darts. Yeah.
Well, like it was encouraged to drink, wasn't it?
Yes. Steady dinner. Joey Wilson, £25 for even after a dart.
Yeah.
Man. £25, they wouldn't even be alive. Jesus, so, but never mind. But that just shows you how much darts has changed from years ago.
Yeah. We're here now today as part of the Premier League tour. So this is nice. Seven. Yeah. 2 weeks ago, it was in Belfast.
Yep.
So, bit of a homecoming for you?
I think it was a good homecoming. I think from playing absolutely shit the whole game, I think I put myself under pressure. Obviously, I just wanted to try and perform for your home crowd. And then, obviously, I went 5-1 down to Gian, and the next month, a 9-darter just came out of absolutely nowhere. And I was just so happy just to hit a 9-darter in front of Belfast.
How does it even happen though? Because like you were saying, you weren't at your best. And then
What I mean. It's just weird. I think it was just written in the stars for me, something like that in your hometown. So I'll never forget that moment for as long as I live.
Did you feel motivated to be like, I'm letting the crowd down here, I'm going to give them something to cheer?
Well, I was just trying. But I was trying my best the whole game and just nothing was happening at all. And when I went 5-1 down, I was like, just get off that stage. And then that just came out of absolutely nowhere.
The place went nuts, didn't it?
Didn't half go nuts. The amount of videos that got sent to me after and all the different angles, and they were throwing the pints. I was like, I went with wasting my pint for £8.50. Oh, good hell. It was staying right beside me, but we throw it in the crowd.
That's worth it for annoying that.
I wouldn't have. I was sat drinking my own pint, £8.50 a pint. Fuck off. I kept it right beside my foot. Unless someone knocked it over, then I had to throw theirs.
Yeah, that is, yeah, it's a special moment. It's not just any knowing that, is it? It's on a huge stage, and then it's in front of your own. It's like,
I don't think I would have reacted the way I did if I was in Glasgow or
wherever.
I'm trying to think where I played, Nottingham and stuff. Yeah. I've been obviously happy days, but I don't think I would have reacted the way I did for Belfast.
What was that feeling like?
That was one of the best feelings of my life.
Yeah,
it was just because obviously your hometown, not many people can say they played in front of their hometown in any sport. To do something what I just done, that was fantastic.
I was going to say, you probably nearly picked that moment now than almost just winning the match.
Massively. A lot of people told me, see, after that, you hit the 9-darter, atmosphere was dead.
Yeah.
No one cared.
Yeah.
They had their moment, buzz moment. There was a 9-darter hit, and obviously, being me in the hometown, no one cared after that.
It's not getting better than that. You know what I mean? Like, you said, Steve Mountain going to come out to Titanium. You're going, nah, I'd rather Josh Rock.
They probably did.
No, but you know what I'm saying, Gavin? Like, you can't get a better boost.
That's what we came for.
It's a fucking knowing dart of one of our own.
That was the funny thing. But, my friends were sitting in the hotel room and I went, I can't remember what bet inside they went on. I went, once it was me hitting a 9-darter the night. And they went, I think it was like 33-1. I said,
Troll flavor on that.
Well, I obviously don't encourage anything, but I was like, 33-1. And then I can't fucking, I banged it. So whoever put the, but from what I heard, quite a lot of people put a bet me to hit a 9-darter. So the bookies got robbed that night.
Yeah. So you give them back. So you give them back.
I give them back something anyway.
Yeah.
When was your first World Championships?
2022. Yep.
Does that feel like a different stage to the rest?
Feels like years ago. Feels like a lifetime ago.
Walking out your first one, does that feel like? Like, what was that kind of moment? Like, because everyone, obviously, we know how big the World Championships is, and then you're going out for the first time, but at your age.
Yeah, I was 21, going to the World Championship, yeah, first time. And it was amazing. I've been there at 21, watched darts all my life, watched it with my uncle, God rest his soul, and to be standing up there playing in the World Championship, Ali Pally was an amazing feeling, but the 9-darters would not, it just tops that more than that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, of course, yeah.
You won the World Cup last year.
Yes.
don't be afraid to mention that.
You're just going to slide that in. Like,
slide it in there.
But he's just like, yeah, no, bother.
He's like, play the World Cup. I played Nally Pally, hit 9 dart, that's grand. Yeah. I'm like, you won the fucking World Cup last year.
That was a special moment for me and Daryl. Obviously, Northern Ireland's never won a World Cup in any living sport anyway. And to do that, I think you need to be a team to win,
yeah,
if that makes sense. And there's some other people in sports, obviously, they don't get on in their team and their country and stuff, and it doesn't work. Whereas me and Daryl get on like a house is on fire, and it's fantastic. And we just showed that we could actually play together.
Yeah.
But I wasn't expecting to win the first goal. I said me and Daryl might win it 1 year, but then the first time me and him teamed up together and we won it, I was like, holy fuck. I wasn't expecting that.
I'd say it's hard to be, obviously, a friend with Gorney and he's a good player, but I'd say it's hard to be standing behind someone and going, like, he needs to hit this shot here, or him standing behind you looking, you need
to hit this shot. Yeah, like, obviously, you have to have all your faith in your partner. But me, the way me and Daryl went on, I'd done all the scoring, he'd done all the finishing. Yeah. And that was a perfect partnership to me. So you couldn't have fault it at all. But I think it was the match against Republic of Ireland which clicked it all on, because that was a long day, because we were the first on. All four of us, a long day on first, and then into the semi-final, didn't start at 7 o'clock, and we were on at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And then you go back fresh, not get something to eat, come back, you play your semi-final, then you wait another 2 hours before you play your final. You're like, fucking hell, that's a long day. Yeah. We didn't leave that venue until 12:30 that night.
Yeah.
And we were there from about 10 o'clock that morning.
Yeah, it must be great though to see players from all around the world. Now I know they come in the World Championships, but you get more exposure. Like, there's people from Argentina and all in the World Cup.
That was very, very good. Obviously, the countries never played Argentina being one of them. But then, obviously, first time they come, they get into the last 16. It's great. There's a lot of opportunities for all the countries to play. And obviously, you get to see people you would never see. Like, I never knew there was Chinese Taipei was a country. You know what I mean?
I thought that was something you read off the menu.
Yeah. I was like, that's what I mean. You don't hear these places and they get all the opportunities in the world to play. And that's obviously thanks to PDC, because they pick what countries get to play. So that's good.
Yeah, I think that's the thing about that. There's no, the barrier to entry for that is so low. You know what I mean? You don't need to have loads of money. You don't need to have access to like all these facilities.
Yeah.
Like, you just need,
you can get out
the allow. Local pub and hope there's a dart.
Or space in the back room.
Yeah.
Or space in the back room of the house.
Exactly.
And go from that. That's why you see people from all walks of life, and that's what you'd love to see. And I think that's what makes it so appealing to people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's just an ordinary bloke. Got really good at darts during COVID, and now here he is.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. What is the appeal of darts? Like, why is the atmosphere, in your opinion now, I know I'm kind of, this a bit of a loaded question, but in your opinion, why is the atmosphere so electric?
Everybody's pissed.
Yeah.
everybody's sitting there having a good time, drinking beer, and obviously just the atmosphere. Obviously, I was a fan, I still am a fan of darts, but years ago being in the crowd, my first ever match I watched was Adrian Lewis versus James Wade in Belfast, and Adrian Lewis at a 9-hour.
Yeah.
So just being a fan, watching through the years, and just seeing the atmosphere going more and more and more, it's brilliant.
But I think that's what separates darts from any other sport. Like, you can have a few gaggles and go and watch United or Liverpool or whatever. You're not sitting in the crowd with points and whatever. I think it's like, this is what separates the arch from the rest. Now the Americans and all are loving it. They're looking at the crowd going, these are fucking nuts.
Nuts, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Especially the Ali Pally's more, my opinion, the barely darts fan go. It's all Christmas parties, stag do's and all at Christmas, because and everybody's fucking dressed up. Tell you what, fair play, I went at the balls to dress up. I mean, just in normal clothes and they're all fucking Super Mario and whatnot. That's
My favourite one was one year a fella dressed up as Chips and all his mates dressed up as seagulls and they were chasing him down the road. Unbelievable.
Some people go big and beyond. Yeah. They put a lot of thought in it as well.
Yeah, but I think that's a spillover of the pub culture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I think you're right when you're saying that. Yeah.
That's what I think, John. The music, the chants are unbelievable.
It was last year, Nathan Aspinall. Can't remember who he was playing. Something tells me it was Andrew Gilden or something. And there was a man got a pitcher. Obviously, there's about 4 pints in it. And Nathan stopped and watched him, and he was just down on it and down on it and down on it. And then they all cheered, and Nathan clapped him, and then he got 3 out. I was like, well, I wouldn't have done that, but it's just stuff like stupid stuff like that just gets the crowd going, and everybody's just, even that's what I mean, Nathan Aspinall standing there in the World Championship, last 16 of the World Championship, and just staring at someone necking a pitcher.
Yeah.
For that just shows how nuts it is.
It's different, yeah, it's fucking crazy. It's different than any other sport. What do you think you need to do to get the number one in the world?
Hopefully Luke Littler gives up any time soon. Jesus,
Because you can get the number one.
You can, but it'll be a very, very long time because he's that far in front. I could win every single thing this year and still not be anywhere close to number one in the world.
Yeah.
It just shows how far ahead that he is, and obviously the prize money's went up, but it obviously helps everything go like that. So I just have to keep plugging the way. Hopefully he dips in form.
Well, you're going on as if like you're an elf, like you're 24.
I know. I could have 25, 30 years at this game. You could Peter Wright still playing, who's 30. He wishes he was fucking 30. 54, you've got Raymond van Barneveld, 63-4 as well. So just, it's, yeah, I have a very, very long time in this game.
Yeah, there's no ways. It's not like
it's,
you get...
There's no age limit. Like, definitely, there's no age limit at all.
Yeah, and that's,
which is good.
Yeah, and there's no prime. It's not as if like, oh, he's past it. You could just be peaking. Have a good year.
I might not have my prime for like 35.
Yeah.
10 years down the line.
Yeah.
So you just don't know.
And the thing is, you could bounce back. So like 2027, you could win the World Championships. Then nothing could happen for 3 or 4 years, and then you could win it again.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just how it's just goes, yeah.
I just think it's mad because you can beat anybody on your day, anyone in the world.
Oh, yeah.
But number one seems so far away. It's like, ugh, it's a cunt.
It's not that. It's like everybody's beatable on their day, exactly.
Yeah.
But it is just when it comes to certain tournaments, obviously, especially ranked events, that he just seems to click on and gets the advantage over everybody.
Yeah.
So he is like the field tailor. He pretty much is the field tailor of this generation.
Who do you reckon would win, a prime Taylor or now just in one match, or a little Ireland's best?
Honestly, 50-50.
Really, yeah?
Yeah. Just because of the standard now is more ridiculous, but you can't knock prime Phil Taylor, 16-time world champion, for no reason. So I wouldn't mind watching the first day 10 in their primes,
yeah,
to be honest.
FPDs.
So it'll be 10-9 either way.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I say he's fuming. He tapped out when he did with the money that's involved in it now.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. But it takes, obviously, that's because of how more notice it is in the world now, because a 17-year-old got to the final in his very first appearance and then wins it at 18. And, you know, because all the TV coverage is a lot more different nowadays.
Yeah.
And it's so more advanced, everybody can watch it now, what it was back then.
Yeah,
so
that's why. He's made a decent few blade bob as well.
Yeah,
but it's not like if he's left the sport and not a being like.
Well, that's true.
He's a few quid, like.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, you win a couple of tournaments now, and not even the big televised ones, and like it makes a big difference.
Come here, there's more money now. Look at the TNs, and I even want to praise them.
Yeah,
the Josh Rockefeller. Do you know what I mean?
Josh was telling us he's sponsored by TN.
I wish he was sponsored by TN.
He's putting it out there.
Yeah. Josh, one rule you could change in darts, what would it be?
As I was saying to you, I wish I could play in shorts. Because when you stand up there, and there's sometimes, like in Frankfurt, the World Cup, you're sweating buckets. Mm. I wish I could play in shorts. I'd be shorts all day long. And quite a few other boys in that room would be shorts as well.
Oh, you can see in some tournaments, like, the players are struggling with the heat.
Oh, some of them are, yeah.
Like, and I'm talking before the dart is thrown. Like, yeah. You're like a leg in, and a pink in the face, and they're like, looking back.
Well, I remember in the match play last year. Now I was 18.5 stone. Now I'm 15. I've lost 3.5 stone in a year, and I can see the difference in myself. Like, I don't sweat as much as I was back then. It was just fucking because you're fat. So still fat now, but I'm not as fat as I was back then. So
that's some going though.
Yeah. What made you? Are you consciously trying to lose weight, or is it just?
I'm still in the middle of losing weight now. You want to try and live a bit longer instead of being fat and doing everything else. So you just need to just watch what you eat now and watch what I drink. So.
Fair fuck's sake, some girl.
Need what you need to be at this game, so I just try to do as much as I can.
Yeah, I don't think people realise it is actually physically demanding.
Yeah, obviously you see physique, obviously throughout the darts, throughout the years, it's obviously beer bellies and all that and stuff, but it's not as much anymore now, so you just kind of need to look after yourself.
Yeah.
See you there.
Yeah, obviously physically, the more energy you have, it's going to affect you mentally then.
Oh yeah.
The concentration.
Exactly, so your concentration level's going to be more there, obviously, to concentrate what you're doing, whereas back then it was just fat and wasn't caring, so
yeah,
you know,
I love the honesty, like, you know what I mean.
I'm always an honest person,
yeah. But because I can imagine, like I was saying, yeah, you can see them struggling, yeah, like,
we just
into a bit better shape, like, you'd be, you know,
all different, yeah,
you can see the fucking difference in them.
Remember that thing that was going around for a while, like the Project Mbappe, and like this kid. Oh, dads have the kids out the backyard and kicking footballs when they can barely walk.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the darts players are starting to take over. People are starting to realise, do you know what, actually?
Oh, he got his darts. We Project Josh Rock and the gaff.
Yeah.
But we've got the ginger beard, so we're close enough.
How does that make you feel, Josh? Like, when you're seeing your face on the side of, like, fucking buildings and on your own darts and stuff like that.
The one that gets me the most is, like, the football cards. Obviously, growing up, match attacks.
Yeah.
And you're all happy you got the Ronaldo 100 club and stuff. And then seeing a signature, one of mine, you're like, fucking hell, I used to collect them. Now there's actually ones of me.
Yeah,
they're the ones that get me. The ones, the billboards and stuff, I couldn't give a shit. It's the card, just the cards. Yeah. Like, fucking hell. I just love Matt's attacks when I was younger.
Class.
I tell you, you can't go anywhere up the north anymore, can you? Without getting pulled.
Mainly ever since that 9-hour in Belfast. It's just fucking sent it through the roof.
Yeah, of
course. I'm a humble person. I'm very, very happy that it's happened to me. That
Of course.
I have time for everybody to take photos and all, so, but ever since that, if I didn't do that, they probably wouldn't get a fuck.
Yeah, but obviously your stocks are going to rise heavily like after moments like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This might be a broad question, Josh, and it might be a bit stupid, so feel free to answer whatever you want. But
I'll tell him to fuck off if you want.
You said you bought a house this year.
Yeah.
You're quite young. I see you're married as well. You have a young child. What is your goal for your career?
Never even thought of that. Obviously, you say career goal, obviously try best to be a world champion and then darts, but as long as my two kids, my wife and all, I've got a roof over the head, I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, you've got the 9 darts in front of the home crowd and the World Cup. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if you stopped tomorrow, you'd be like, right.
I'll be happy as long as just I can live my life with my wife and kids and they can have an easy life too. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Class. Josh, I really appreciate you coming in and sitting down with us. We know you've been doing media and you've been flat out all day, so thanks very much.
No, thank you very much for having me.
No, we appreciate it.
All right.
You're a legend.
Best of luck tomorrow night as well.
Good boys, thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, El Siobhan.
Boom.
That's us for this week, and thanks to the legends at Roystyle Furniture for supporting the podcast.
Speaking of great support, see what I did there? Roystyle has everything, and I mean everything. Sofa sorted, beds covered, dining table, 6 chairs, boom. All in one house package. Plus the lads in the store are sound. They're not pushy, just helpful. And if you're an online shopper, no problem.
Visit www.roystyle.ie, and when you shop in store, tell them that the two boys from the podcast sent you, and they'll throw you in a little discount.
Don't sleep on this deal. Unless it's on one of their mattresses, in which case, fair play.
So get down and get the gaff sorted. Right price, right style, right now.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app. What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your weight in it now. Fill your body up. Work it hard and long. When you feel it done.
The Hypnotizer.